Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. If you are a student of Bible prophecy, please keep the dial set right where it is, because on PTIB today, I'm going to bring my broadcast partner David Dolan to my broadcast table with his Middle East news update. All prophecy students must hear this report. David and I will discuss Russian President Putin, who has made a move to stop any and all Israeli airstrikes on Syria. At the same time, a record number of Jews entered the Temple Mount to be able to pray discreetly. And the Palestinians have made demands for Israel that sound much like a decree of surrender for the Jewish state. These are the issues David and I will deal with when David Dolan comes to the broadcast table right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. You're going to hear in my report when David and I speak in just a moment that will help you to understand the Palestinian part in the activities of the end times that are found in the prophetic word of God. And we can see this all coming together even as this report is broadcast across the world. In light of that, may I suggest my DVD documentary entitled Esau and the Palestinians. Most of our video shooting was done in Petra, that impregnable city, one of the seven wonders of the world, that is located in southern Jordan. That's the location the Lord dispatched Esau and his family to in Genesis chapter 36. These people, over the last 4,000 years, have become the Palestinian people of today. And this DVD documentary helps you to understand how that all comes together. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com, then to the Prophecy Bookstore, and make your purchase of Esau and the Palestinians. David Dolan's Middle East News Update. A key region of the world, and any student of Bible prophecy must hear this report on a weekly basis. That's indeed why we bring this longtime journalist in the Middle East to the broadcast table with us. David, let me begin with this. Mahmoud Abbas has been urged by the Biden administration to go back to the negotiating table to try to put together a two-state solution. So the president of the Palestinian Authority put up a list of requirements to go back to negotiations, and as I've read through them, and even the Israelis are saying, this would be a decree for Israel's surrender. What are your thoughts about this list Abbas has put up?
Well, Jimmy, it just reflects the continuing very hardline position from the Palestinian side as to any final solution, frankly. And their version of that would be similar to Hitler's. Jews disappear. The Jewish state disappears. Well, that's not peace, of course. That's a recipe for war. He didn't say that in so many words, but basically they are asking for things that Israel could never agree to. Of course, chief amongst them is that there be no Israeli control in eastern Jerusalem over the old city, the Temple Mount, that Jewish neighborhoods in the east of the city be turned over to the Palestinians, that sort of thing. So, again, it's not just the PA. The PA is ruling Judea and Samaria, but Hamas is ruling the Gaza Strip, and Hamas, according to all the opinion polls, as we've discussed, is gaining popularity in Judea and Samaria and is much more popular. In fact, the head of Hamas, if he were to run for president of the Palestinian Authority, he would absolutely defeat Abbas by about two-thirds, the polls show. So he has to pay attention to their positions, and their positions, as I've stated many times, are clear in their founding charter. They've never renounced it. This is Hamas, that Israel must be totally destroyed. There can be no peace with a Jewish state. A Jewish state is contrary to the Quran and has to disappear. So, again, the Biden administration wanting to proceed in talks, apparently, but the chances of there being any realistic solution at this time are just zero.
You've made that statement many, many times, and I believe exactly what you're saying, David. And in fact, we both agree with what the prophetic word of God has to say about this Israeli-Palestinian conflict as well. On this last Sunday, it was Tish B'Av. That's the day that the Jews will pray, mourn, fast, and then read the Book of Lamentations as they pray for a temple to be up on the Temple Mount by next Tish B'Av, less than a year from now. However, a report coming that there were a record number of Jews that were able to visit the Temple Mount on Tish B'Av and pray discreetly. Boy, that's good news as far as the Jewish people are concerned, isn't it?
Well, Jimmy, it was quite a scene, actually, because, as you say, it was a record number, close to 2,000 Jews, mostly males, went up to the Temple Mount, and they held some prayer sessions on one of the extremities. They don't ever go to the center of the Temple Mount, lest they accidentally walk over the site of the Holy of Holies, where it's forbidden for anybody but the high priest to enter. And even though there is no temple there now and is no Holy of Holies there now, they still adhere to that. But they gathered, there were prayer meetings, there was the singing of Hatikva, the Israeli national anthem, by some of them. And before that, there were some Palestinians who rioted, knowing that some of these Jews were on their way, religious Jews on their way up to pray. They began throwing stones and bottles and other things at the police. The police got that under control, and then this stream came up to the Temple Mount. Well, the Islamic world, not just the Palestinians, went ballistic over it. Turkey issued a strong denunciation of Jews going up to the Temple Mount, said they were racist settlers that were out to attack Muslims, which of course is not at all the case. They were going up there to pray, and condemned it. Egypt issued a strong statement against it, saying Holy Al-Aqsa must remain in our control. And the Ra'am Party, part of the government, also issued a statement that was echoed by the Muslim Brotherhood movement, the founder, the parent, I should say, of the Ra'am Party, condemning it and saying that it's the sole property of Muslims, the Temple Mount. That's a quote. Sole property of Muslims. Nobody else has a right to be up there. Nobody else should be up there. There were never any temples up there. This is an Islamic holy site exclusively. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. It is the site of the ancient temples. The archaeologists have established that beyond doubt of anybody that's reasonable at all and looks at the information. But it shows, again, that the opposition to any sort of Jewish control or any sort of Jewish influence, even prayers on the Temple Mount, is a source of great consternation amongst the Muslims, the whole Muslim world, which, of course, says that it has replaced the Jews as the people of God, and that they have the revelations and the final prophet Muhammad and not the Jews, and the Jews should go somewhere else.
David, during the administration of Prime Minister Netanyahu, he had met with Vladimir Putin of Russia. They had an agreement together, a statement that each of them made to each other, that Putin would offer a blind eye to any attacks that the Israeli Defense Force may do on the Iranians or whatever situation there in Syria. Now the report coming from Vladimir Putin that he's going to step aside from that agreement. Is that going to harm the opportunity for the Israeli Defense Force to deal with those who would like to destroy them there in Syria?
Well, Jimmy, this all came after there were two Israeli airstrikes early this week into Syria, two separate ones. There were also two rockets fired into Israel, into the Haifa area from Lebanon, believed to be, though, from Palestinian groups there and not from Hezbollah. But after the second strike, we had a very strong statement from a senior Russian official who gave details of the second raid, saying 8 Israeli-guided missiles had been fired at Iranian positions near the city of Aleppo, and that Russian anti-aircraft forces, anti-missile forces, I should say, had shot down 7 of them. The statement went on. It was by Vadim Kulit, who's the Russian Center for Reconciliation head. I won't go into the details there, but he follows Syria closely. He gave the time when the attack took place on the evening of July 19th, just before midnight. And he said the Israeli planes came from the east, from the Al-Tanf zone. Now, that's an American-controlled zone where Syria, Jordan, and Iraq meet. So the planes apparently came up from the south and maybe over Jordanian airspace and then went over to the west of Syria. That's unusual. They usually come in from Lebanon. But he said that this sort of situation will not continue, and we will not allow these Israeli strikes to just go on without any opposition. He gave the details of how they intervened. So that is a whole new thing, Jimmy, and what is being said in Israel is that this is because the agreement you mentioned was between Putin and Benjamin Netanyahu, who were actually pretty good friends, had met many, many times, and had established a relationship. Now that Netanyahu is in the opposition and Bennett is the prime minister, they're basically saying, we have no agreement with you. And therefore, you know, the time when you could just carry out these attacks in Syria without any resistance from us or strong resistance from us has ended. We will now shoot at any Israeli missiles or rockets. And if they start shooting, Jimmy, at the aircraft themselves, which they could easily do with their S-300 system there in place in Syria, that would be, an act of war basically going on. And again, Israel's not attacking Syria per se. They're attacking a third country, Iran, that has taken over parts of the country and are building bases and are supplying weapons into Lebanon, etc. Israel has no choice but to resist this, but Russia, until now allowing it, apparently not going to do so. At least try not to do that after now.
And I understand that that attack coming from Lebanon earlier this week that you spoke about may well have been sponsored by the Iranians as well. David Dolan, the man who covers the Middle East for us, and in particular the events happening to the city of Jerusalem and the entire state of Israel. Always a key report, especially for those of us who are students of Bible prophecy. David, thank you so much for your report. Your experience helps you to give us great insight that we could not get from anyplace else. Appreciate it, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Glad to do it, Jimmy. God bless.
Great report from David Dolan. Always his Middle East news update, a key report for those of us who are students of Bible prophecy. It's interesting that under pressure from the United States President Joe Biden, both the Israelis and the Palestinians are being pushed to go back to the negotiating table to discuss a two-state solution. The Palestinians have made up a list of demands for Israel to go back to the table that sounds much like a decree of surrender for the Jewish state. And that surrender even before the two parties begin to talk. This Palestinian list is mostly a no-starter for the Israelis, which means that the conflict will continue until Jesus Christ returns. That's Malachi chapter 1. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. May I suggest my DVD documentary entitled Esau and the Palestinians? Most of our video shooting was done in Petra, that impregnable city, one of the seven wonders of the world, that is located in southern Jordan. These people, over the last 4,000 years, have become the Palestinian people of today. And this DVD documentary helps you to understand how that all comes together. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com, and make your purchase of Esau and the Palestinians. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time as I will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.